This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I am delighted to be with you today. I love to spend this time with you, as you well know, Monday through Friday, as we discuss issues of importance to your life, my life, our life of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and how all of that impacts the current moment in which we are living. And it is quite a current moment, isn't it? I mean, here we are. We're just one day short of a week before Election Day. And I think that the soul of America hangs in the balance. And I certainly do hoping that I am certainly hoping that you are prayerfully considering who you will vote for if you haven't voted already. And if you have voted already, I am praying that you voted according to a well-formed conscience, which comes by way of the teachings of the church and sacred scripture. And I certainly do hope that we are always cognizant of the fact that if we are out of order in the way in which we live as a country, as a nation, as well as the way in which we live our individual lives, then we are taking ourselves out of the mantle of blessing that God intends for us to receive. And so as a result of that, we see disorder, we see chaos, we see rioting, we see heinous actions being committed against each other. We see individuals who lack a conscience, a capacity to really feel empathy for another. The times are very, very contentious, and it's never been more important for us to be very faithful to the teachings of the church and the way in which we move through this time, and to be a people of prayer. And that's what I really want to encourage you to be, is a person of prayer, a person of deep prayer. You know, we just had our beautiful Women of Grace online fall retreat this past weekend, and that was the topic. It was all about prayer. And time and again, the speakers encouraged us to look at the reality of what prayer is, what prayer does as we pray, you know, in us, and how it is that prayer becomes a vehicle by which we enter into, the very power of the Holy Spirit that has the capacity to change things, to change us. But in changing us, then to change our actions, our behaviors, which have a corporate effect upon the world. And so, you know, we say, well, what can I do? Well, you can pray. We do have a novena that we have. Today's the first day of it. It's not too late to sign up. It's for the souls of our dearly departed loved ones. I want to encourage you towards that. But I also want you to be doing something very, very special with regard to this election. As I say, you know, we are just a day short of 1 week out, right? A week tomorrow is Election Day. And we know that there have been incredible numbers of individuals who have voted already, and that's fine. But the way in which you cast your ballot, the way in which you make a decision, the candidate that you pick, is going to help to bring, you know, a new moment into our day and time. And the question is, what kind of a moment do you want to have? I want to encourage you to get out to National Catholic Register, put in Michael Warsaw's name. He is our CEO and chairman of the board here at EWTN. He wrote an incredible article talking about the very realities that I'm discussing with you. And he said, we're not voting for a person, we're voting for a vision. You know, and sometimes we have to look more broadly than we've ever looked before. And we've got to beg God to give us that great capacity to reason, to see where decisions will logically take us. What are the consequences? And I don't think that we've ever been more divided as a nation. And I don't think that we've ever had two candidates who are more diametrically opposed in their vision and what they see for the United States. And I don't think that we've ever had candidates who have been so explicit in what they believe about very big issues. Very big issues, heading the list, of course, the right to life and the right for a child to have life and or the right to take the life of a child through all 9 months of pregnancy and even afterwards. You know, I just have to share this with you because it's so on my heart, and it'll just come out of my own time of prayer here. By the way, I prayed for all of you. You know, isn't it a sad statement? I mean, what do you say? It brings tears to my eyes. I mean, what do you say about a nation and a culture whose sacred cow is the death of children. What do you say about that? You know, what do you say about, how do you define a culture or a nation where that becomes the sacred cow? You know, I'm thinking back to the time of the coming of Our Lady of Guadalupe to Juan Diego in 1531 and what was going on at that time. Children were being sacrificed and people were being sacrificed to the serpent god. Children were being killed. Hearts were being ripped out of the beating hearts were being ripped out of the chests of individuals. And we look at that and we say, that was horrific. That was terrible. That was awful. And Our Lady came. And that tremendous debacle was stopped. That horrific pagan practice was stopped because she came. And here we are in our day and time. And we try to sanitize the same kind of action. People are not tearing beating hearts out of individuals' chests today, but we're advocating for the killing of children through all 9 months of their gestation in their mother's womb and then killing them afterwards. And the rise of euthanasia, a more sanitized way of accomplishing the same goal, killing people. And we hold these up as a nation and say, this is our God. We hold this up and say, this is our sacred cow, and we bow down before you. Oh, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to stand back and look at this. Look at this. And cry out to God for mercy. Mercy. And if we think for one moment that the way in which we cast our vote is not adding to this or taking away from it, we're very foolish. And if we don't think that this omniscient God sees every single one of our actions, including the way in which we cast a ballot, we're very foolish. And if we think that there is not accountability for the way in which we do that, we're very foolish. So I'm asking you to look at the vision as Michael Warsaw so well advisedly instructs us, and not the person. This isn't about a Mr. Congeniality contest. This is about lives. This is about souls. This is about the way in which we determine we want to live as a people and what we want to hold as self-evident facts. And that's the truth of it. And now I've taken up this entire time and haven't even given you a phone number yet. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. We want to know what's going on in your mind today. Give us a call right here, 833-288-EWTN. Get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We're available for you there. Use the chat feature and we'll get it up on the board. Coming right back after our break. Stay with us.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I am inviting you to give us a call here. The phone lines are looking for you. Yes, they are. And so is Ryan Penny. He is our call screener. Be sure to give him a big old howdy, hey. Let him know if you are a first-time caller. If you're a first-time caller, we like to ring our first-time caller welcome bell for you and to welcome you for your first time on the program. So please let him know that, and he'll let me know that, and then I can ring my bell, and I like to ring my bell. We also invite you to join us via EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. The chat feature at both of those sites is available for you, and all you have to do is put your name in and how it is that you are with us, YouTube, Facebook, you know, however that might be, and then put your question in, and Jeff Burst Larson, who's our producer and social media manager, will dash right out there and he'll get it and he'll put it up on the board for us and we can take it. Always looking forward to having that beautiful, holy conversation with you. Phone lines are lighting up here. Makes me happy. I get so happy when phone lines light up. Why? Because then I get to talk with you. And I love to talk with you. I love to have that holy conversation. I know that our listeners like to listen into it too. But if you're a listener, guess what? You can be a caller. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then we can have that holy conversation. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We'll be dipping into some phone calls, I think, here also that were left for us on the listener comment line. We try to weave those in when we possibly can. But we're good to go. And we're good to go with Margaret. She's calling us from Charles County, Maryland. Guadalupe Radio is the way she's listening to us. Good morning, Margaret. How are you?
Hi, Jeanette. I'm fine. I just wanted to tag on to what you were saying earlier about needing to pray for our elections and for our country.
Yes.
And I wanted to tell you and your listeners about a movement that we have down here in Charles County. It's a lay movement. It is a nonpartisan movement.
Uh-huh.
But we call it prayer. Instead of prayer bombing, we're calling it prayer balming, B-A-L-M-I-N-G.
Oh, I like it.
To get coverage. Yeah, I did too. I can't say that that was my idea. It was a very good friend of mine. But we're trying to get coverage at all of the polling places in Charles County. We will not be up with the electioneers. We won't be irritating voters. Basically, we will be prayer warriors sitting afar and balming our polls with prayers. Our intention is to ask for God's blessing upon the upcoming election, that we elect virtuous men and women to all offices that are open to inspiration and guidance from the Holy Spirit, and for a return of peace, unity, justice, and liberty to our suffering nation. And there's a booklet that we've put online that has well more than an hour's worth of prayers in it. And can I give that?
Sure, go right ahead, Margaret. Please do. Absolutely.
Sure. It's www.tinyurl.com/prayerbalming, B-A-L-M-I-N-G, booklet.
Okay. Give it again, please, so that I can write it down and repeat it. Go ahead.
Sure. It's www.tinyurl.com/prayerbalming booklet.
And that's all one word at the end there, huh?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And there's a beautiful patriotic rosary in there we saw that online, and it's beautiful. It prays for the blood of Jesus Christ over every single state in our country.
Mm-hmm.
There's 50 Hail Marys in the decades of the Rosary, and there's 50 states. So before each Hail Mary, we pray the blood of Jesus Christ over Alabama, Arkansas, et cetera, all the way through. And then at the end, instead of doing an Ave song, we would sing a patriotic song. And that's all there in the booklet, and it's not ours. It came from, I believe it was a friend of Medjugorje online.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very nice booklet, and it will give, if people don't know what to pray or how to pray at the polling sites, just go in your car, pull up that booklet, and start praying there.
Well, Margaret, you know, this is an excellent idea. And, you know, I want to encourage all of you maybe to get out there to the site that Margaret mentioned. It's www.tinyurl.com/prayerbalming booklet. B-A-L-M-I-N-G. And you can download that, print it out, gives you good selections of prayers to pray. And we have prayed that patriotic rosary, and it is a lovely rosary. So we encourage you to get out there and to do that. And Margaret, you know, I'm thinking about that beautiful passage that says in sacred scripture where Jesus speaks, and he tells us that, you know, there are some demonic realities, demonic presences, demonic spirits that can only be cast out through prayer and fasting. And we have got to realize that we are under a demonic presence right now in the sense of what we see happening. And really the scourge that is ours because of the decisions that we as a nation have made in the past. And we have an opportunity for so many of these things now to be looked at again, and maybe, you know, looked at through a prism that is not the prism of, you know, a flawed sense of what a right is and what freedom is. And so we want to take ourselves out of that oppression that I think has been on our country, and into the true freedom that comes by way of the presence of God in our midst, working because we give him room to work. So I really do want to encourage all of us to be praying through this time, and to couple that with sacrifices and fasting. You know, a sacrifice or a fast, very important. So thank you for sharing this website with us, Margaret, and thank you for this great work that's been raised up to pray at the voting polls. Thank you.
Well, it was an inspiration, I will say that. And when you're talking about the demonic, it's very interesting. This should have been a very simple prayer booklet to put together. You would not believe the troubles that myself and everyone else working on it came up with while we're putting... Somebody doesn't want this prayer booklet out there.
That's right.
And that just made us work all the harder.
Well, you know, so, that's right.
So hopefully...
Go ahead.
Hopefully people will go to the polls, to their local poll, and just spend an hour prayer bombing their poll.
That's right. Well, it's very, very important. I want to read you something. I'm gonna try to find this quickly. Somehow, when I want to try to find something quickly, it takes me a while. Hey, oh, but look at that. God is so good. He's so good. He's a marvelous God, this God of ours. I found the right book in the Bible. So let me just get to the right passage. Here it is. It's chapter 2. And this explains, Margaret, you know, why it was that you faced such difficulties in putting that prayer booklet together. It says this, "My son, when you come to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for trials." My son, when you come to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for trials. And then he says, this is what we need to be. Be sincere of heart and steadfast, undisturbed in time of adversity. Cling to him, forsake him not. Thus will your future be great. Accept whatever befalls you. In crushing misfortune, be patient. For in fire, gold is tested, and worthy men in the crucible of humiliation. Trust God, and he will help you. Make straight your ways and hope in him. And then it goes on, and there's more. But it's chapter 2 in Sirach, and it explains why it is that you encountered such difficulties. And obviously, you were steadfast because you got this accomplished. And so what you have to know then is that you're a worthy woman, and you've been in the crucible of humiliation, and all is for the glory and honor of God. So good going,
Amen.
Margaret. Good going.
Oh, thank you, Jeanette.
You're welcome. Thank you for being a woman of grace. I'll tell you that much. God bless you now. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See, this is what we need. You know, we say, oh, I can't do anything about this. No, there's a bunch that we can do. There's a bunch that we can do. We are not to be sidelined by the difficulty, the trial, the circumstance, or the seeming impossibility of accomplishing a great good in the world. That all comes from the devil. He doesn't want you to move forward because he knows if you move forward, and if you're moving forward always, not under your soul power, but under the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells you, then you are unstoppable. You are not defeatable, and he can't stand it. So he wants to discourage you at the outset. He never changes his wily tactics. They're always the same. So when you feel discouraged, when you feel beaten down, when you feel hopeless, when you're nearing despair, when you think that there's nothing that you can do, then you got to say, oh, wait a second. I'm in a spiritual battle right now, and I know that I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I know that already. So I can stand up tall, and I can fight this battle in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I go under the banner and protection of God, and I hold up our Blessed Mother who smites the head of the serpent, and I go into this fray knowing who I am, that I am a daughter, I am a son of the Most High God, and I am not defeatable, I am not stoppable. because God works all things to the good for those who are called according to his purposes. And even if it seems as though we are facing abject failure, let me tell you what, there is no failure in the Lord. And your effort moving forward, even the effort itself in moving forward, opens the heavenlies and graces pour down ways in which you don't see. It's like, you know, it's almost as if you were moving forward. Picture this. You're on a white horse. You're all dressed in your armor. You're charging out there, right? And with every gallop of the horse, because you're moving forward, even if it appears as though you're going to be slain, and even if you should be slain, as you're going forward, behind you, being catapulted down from the heavenlies are explosions of grace. Boom, 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 with every hoof movement of the horse that you're on, because you are moving under the power of the Lord, and everything changes when you do that, even if you don't perceive it, because what you see is the battle raging. You don't see what's happening behind you. You don't see what God's affecting. So have faith. We can do great things. We can do great things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen and hallelujah. We're going to Krista. She's in Scranton, Pennsylvania. YouTube is the way that she's joining us today. Good morning, Krista. How are you?
Hi, Jonna. Thanks for taking my call. I kind of have a dilemma here.
Okay.
And I know your story that you had lost your husband.
Yes.
And that you remarried Jack, and Jack had lost his wife.
That's right.
I'm currently dating a man. Wonderful man. We met through a Catholic website, and we pray together. Everything is like, oh my gosh, like just so good. His wife just died 4 months ago.
Okay.
And I know as a woman and in God's timing that we have a seed of love, and I want to let it grow and develop before we rush off into any future commitment. However, he is pressuring me to get engaged and get married ASAP.
Mm-hmm.
And he now is turning this pressure into an anger and a name-calling situation of me when I've just gotten out of a 27-year-old marriage of abuse, physical and verbal, and annulled. You know, I have an annulment. And I know that this man was brought into my life. And after the last outburst he had, he said, I'll do anything to make this relationship work. And I said, please, I go to a spiritual director. Please consider going to one, because I know the anger is part of the loss of his wife. I mean, this just happened 4 months, nothing, 4 months, you know. And he now last night has issued an ultimatum that if I don't agree to get engaged at Christmas, that we're done. And my heart is broken. And I know you've been through so much. And I know Jack has been through a lot. And I've been searching online for books or something to guide me.
Okay, Krista, darling. Well, first of all, we're just going to ask our Lord to come into this situation right now and to give you that peace that surpasses understanding. And this peace resides deeply in our soul. It's where the Holy Spirit dwells, right? So, Father God, we do come before you in this moment, and I ask for you to help your daughter to enter into that reservoir of peace that comes by way of the state of grace and the occupation of our souls by the Holy Spirit. And I ask, Lord God, that these very frayed emotions that are hers right now because of this situation would be calmed down by that presence of the Holy Spirit, that you would return to her that sense of your presence and that sense of your wisdom at work within her. Father God, we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of Our Lady. Amen. So, Krista, this is just on the face of what it is that you've shared with me now. I would say that you have two red flags about this relationship. Number one, it's too soon for him to enter into a marriage. 4 months is absolutely nothing in terms of grieving. He's not even come out of this interior type of anesthesia that God applies to help us make it through the rupture of our heart that takes place at the loss of a spouse. And there's two ways that people can go at that time, right? They can go deeply into prayer, and they can allow the Lord to work that deep grief and that sense of rupture to the good. They can unite it to his cross, and great benefit can come from that. Tremendous graces come from that. Tremendous spiritual growth comes from that. Or oftentimes they go the other way, and they attempt to self-medicate. And they can self-medicate through alcohol, through drugs, through shopping, through pornography. But they can also self-medicate through trying to replace the one that they've lost by covering up that wound with a relationship. Now, I'm not suggesting for one moment that there isn't something authentic here. Even if there is something authentic here, I would be very aware of the fact that he is not really emotionally ready. I don't know that anybody would be emotionally ready after 4 months. Now, the second red flag is this. The second red, actually, now I'm seeing 3 or 4 red flags. The second red flag is this. He's pressuring you. He's pressuring you. Now, I don't know if he's pressuring you out of his own pain and suffering or if he's pressuring you out of need. I don't know why he's pressuring you, but that's a negative. That is a big old red flag. We cannot pressure somebody into marrying us and think that that's a good thing. It just isn't. No one should be pressured. And the fact that you are taking a reasoned approach to this and you have the capacity to do so from the standpoint that you are not grieving the loss of a spouse, that gives benefit. So the pressure concerns me. The other thing is the verbal abuse concerns me. And I'm wondering, is this the way he handles pressured situations? Is this the way that he handles stress? Is this the way that he goes? And I think that that's something that's got to be sorted out. Because even if you love him, the emotion is not going to carry you through very tenuous moments. And you know this because you've come out of an abusive situation. So I want you to hold because I'm not finished. And we'll come right back and then we'll move on to our other callers too. You can join us today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're coming right back to you. Stay tuned.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, everybody. We're so happy to be live with you today. We certainly are inviting you to give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Inviting you to pick up the phone, give us a call. If you're a first-time caller, please let Ryan Penny, our call screener, know so I can ring my bell to thank you for being with us today. In addition to that, we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply go right on out there and use the chat feature and get your question or comment up on the board for us here. Jeff Burson will go and get it, and he'll make it actually happen for you. We're excited about that. We have Krista on the line. She's in Scranton, Pennsylvania. She's with us via YouTube. She's dating a man whose wife died a few months ago, and he wants to marry her right away, and he's pressuring her, and he's actually given her an ultimatum, and that if they are not engaged at Christmas time, then everything is over. And I guess maybe I was telling you, Krista, I had a couple of red flags, and I think I've named a couple for you already, my big concern was, is this the way that he behaves when he's under pressure? You might be seeing a side of him that wouldn't have come out otherwise. And this ultimatum, I don't like ultimatums. I mean, if you love someone, do you give them an ultimatum? No. Let me just say this, sweetie, and you were actually, I mean, I can hear this, the strain that this is putting on you because, you were breaking down and crying. And it's good to cry, no problem there. But my point is that, in your heart, you're conflicted. And we never make a decision in a state of conflict. We don't make a decision in desolation. We make it when we're receiving consolation. And you never move forward unless you're sure and know for positive that this is the direction the Lord's leading. And there's just too many red flags here, Krista.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Johnny, I thank you so much because, I mean, I know this. I listen to you. Like, I listen to a lot of good Catholic EWTN spiritual people, and I know that this is the right thing. And when you said to me that night, look, I will go and get counseling, and I said, even not to talk about us, just go because your wife just passed. You need some help. You're a male. You don't always have guys to share your feelings with. You know, like women will call up the phone and talk to each other. Guys don't do that. I said, just go. It's healthy. And my counselor recommended a wonderful male spiritual counselor for him that he promised he would go, and now he said he never said that he would go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can lead him to the well, but I can't make him drink, you know?
No, no. And that's exactly right, honey. And at this point in your life, you know what you need? You need a good man who is a man. You need a man who's all grown up already, right? You need somebody that you can relate to spiritually, somebody that you can relate to intellectually, you know, somebody that you can trust with the whole of your being, because that's what marriage is. It's an entrustment of self to another and making a gift of self. And I just think, you know, as much as you might care for him, you know, I just wouldn't move forward right now. I just really wouldn't. And you've given him good advice. And if he doesn't take it, oh well.
Yeah, thank you, Jonna. Do you guys have a show that you did? I think your secretary said that you and Jack did a radio show or something together.
We do. The first month.
They tried to find that for me, but they couldn't find it.
Well, the first Monday of every month, most of the time, I mean, sometimes life happens and we're not able to do it, but
but
the first Monday of every month. And if you go out to, if you have the EWTN app, and if you don't, you should download it. It's free. Go to, go to Audio On Demand and scroll down to Women of Grace. And if you just look at a calendar and you look at the first Mondays, you can go by that. And then Jack and I did some, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I know the secretary said you had first done a specific show on this topic of getting married after the death of a spouse.
We did.
That's
and
the
we
one
did
I was
it.
Looking for.
Okay, and we did it. Yes, that would probably have been in the, you know, like one of the earlier ones that we did, and I'm not sure how many of them are up there. You know, I don't know. Obviously, they have to drop off or else the bandwidth would be crazy. But we also did a television program after we got married. Actually, we announced our engagement on our television program, Women of Grace, and that's available for you out at our website. If you're a Women of Grace exclusive subscriber, you can find that. You would just put in like Jack's name, Jack Williams, and it would come up. And then we actually did a program together on television after we were married. But it was in that first one that we talked about the loss of our spouses and the way in which God led us together and how the Lord confirmed for us that it was, that this was his will. And so I would really encourage you to try to get that. The other thing that occurs to me is you can go to EWTN's religious catalog, EWTNRC.com, and you can purchase a DVD of that show, of both of those shows.
Oh, I would love to do that.
Yeah. So,
okay,
what
year, do you know what year that would have been?
Well, yes, because let's see now. Let me think for just a second. We got engaged in December of 2017. Did we? Yes. December of 2017. And it would have been in early 2018. And
okay.
And then it would have been after May of 2018, because that's the month that we got married.
Okay, great.
Okay, I hope that helps you. I just don't.
Thank you. I love you so much. Thank you so much for everything you do for all of us.
Well, you're quite welcome, and I will. You're in my rosary, Krista. Okay.
Thank you, Janet. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Now, God bless you. Yeah, my goodness, these are big questions, but you know, God has big answers for us, and He never fails us, and you get a check in your spirit, and like Krista's doing, observe that check. Don't move forward. Something's not right. And you got to wait until you are restored to peace, you know, and peace will come. Peace will come. And you'll either move forward or you'll say no, but it'll be the right decision. All right, we're going to go off to Gabriella. Gabriella is with us in Orlando, Florida. Well, that's not too far from where I have lived in the past. She's with us via Facebook. Good morning, Gabriella. How are you?
Good morning, Jeanette. This is Gabriella from New York, but I recently moved to Orlando. So,
Gabriella,
I
haven't
to you like well, many.
Yes, darling, I haven't heard from you in many, many years. Are you okay? Things going well?
There's a lot of things that happened in my life, and the recent thing that just happened is I lost my husband of 32 years.
Oh.
6 months ago.
Oh, Gabriella. Oh,
and,
sweetheart.
So I'm trying to grieve, and really with the move and everything else, I was telling my adult son that I haven't had really a chance to grieve. And on top of it all is, like, I just lost my job. And you know, I don't really know. Like, I feel like an outsider looking into the world now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't belong, and I'm not suicidal, but, like, I feel like I have, like, God kept me here because, you know, I have my mission still to complete, but that's all I have to concentrate on now, I believe. And this grieving process to me is like another level than when my mom died, because my husband was my best friend and I didn't have anybody else other than him, because we both completed each other, you know. We both enjoyed our lives together, and he was only 54.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I have two beautiful adult children that support me. But again, it's like I don't, and of course, you know, I'm praying to God. But right now I'm in desolation where I'm just praying.
Yes.
Because ultimately I love God. I love him even more.
Yes.
I mean, I just want to say that I'm not angry with him. I know that, you know, we are all his children, but I just feel like I don't know if I'm doing this correctly, if I'm grieving the right way. And since I know that you went through this, can you give me any tips to, you know, kind of help me through this process?
Okay, really. Oh, my heart's breaking for you. Sure. Let's just talk. First of all, there's no right or wrong way to grieve, okay? There's no right or wrong way to grieve. And what you're going to find as you move through this time is that you might grieve one way one day and a different way a different day. You know, these emotions that you're feeling and the experience of the loss. And I use the word with Krista, the rupture. You know, here you were. You were in a good marriage, Gabriella. You loved your husband and he loved you. And the two became one flesh. And so when we lose a spouse, it's like part of us is gone. There's a rupture, and it's painful, and it's awful. And God, in his goodness and kindness, he helps us to make it through that time with that protective layer of sort of like, what's the word? I use it as a type of spiritual anesthesia, because if we face the full measure of that loss all at one time, it would crush us. But he gradually begins to withdraw that kind of state that we're in, because we have to deal with the reality. And it seems to me that maybe he's taking off a layer or two right now. And this is kind of good news, because he only does this when he knows we're ready for it, when we can actually handle the pain and the deepening recognition that our loved one is never coming back in this life. So you're going to ride this little bit of a roller coaster of emotion, and it's a good thing. There's no shame in it, and there's no wrong way to do it, as long as you're doing it with the Lord and you're not looking for ways to get out of the pain that would be injurious to you, either physically or, you know, or psychologically or emotionally. And I don't hear you doing that. And based on the fact that, you know, for a very good period of time, we heard from you very regularly on radio. I know a little bit about your soul. And so I think that you're doing very well. And you have to shed those tears. And you have to allow yourself to be present to the present moment. So, you know, how did I make it through? Well, I made it through the death of Simon. And I made it through the death of my late husband, Anthony, with holy beads in my hand. I made it through the rosary, and I made it by clinging to Our Lady, who walked me every step of the way. And I know you have deep devotion to her. So she's very close to you, and she has her mantle around you, and she's holding you right there against her Immaculate Heart. And if you close your eyes and just picture yourself there, you can almost hear the beating of her heart. and it beats in love for you, and it beats in maternal empathy and maternal beatitude for you. So the graces are there, and Our Lady brings them to you. So I want to encourage you that way. If you can get before the Blessed Sacrament, even if he's reposed, you're there in Orlando. I don't know where you are, but and I don't know if the shrine to Our Lady Queen of the Universe is opened or not. I do know that they have adoration in there when it is open, or even to your local parish, and just to sit there, even if Jesus is reposed, and just to say, look at my tortured heart, Lord. It hurts so badly, and I attach it to your tortured heart when you hung alone on that cross dying. You know, and I'm telling you, Gabriella, this will be an incredibly rich moment of spiritual growth for you if you suffer in union with him, and attach an intention there, you know, if you'd like, for this very tenuous moment that we're in. A great good can be affected because your pain is so real, baby. And, you know,
I have a question. When you prayed, did you feel like praying, or you just prayed because you know that you needed him and somehow you just needed to pray? Because right now, my prayers are heartfelt. It is just, Lord, I love you with all my heart, soul, and mind. Those are my heartfelt, but my regular prayers, I have to, you know, sometimes I'm just praying the words. And okay.
Go ahead. You speak.
And my thoughts are somewhere else. You know, it's like heartfelt. Like I can't focus. Like today, my daughter and I, we went walking and we're praying the rosary. But like, you know, my thoughts are like everywhere. Especially now that I lost my job, it's like talking about desolation. But I know that God loves me. I know that. You know.
When I was praying, I couldn't keep a thought in my head. I couldn't meditate. I couldn't find any consolation in the sense of feeling the presence of God, because my own pain was so great. And your heart now is consumed by that pain. So it kind of crowds out. It crowds out the capacity to feel other emotions, and your mind is you know, at this point it's also in a place where, you know, the pain is so great that it's occupied with that. So I God does not expect you to necessarily feel anything or to be able to focus, but what you can give him is something even greater, and I believe that you've been giving him that, and that is the pain itself. So I would pray my rosary and I would say, Lord, the only thing I can give you right now is this pain in my heart and this tear that's running down my cheek, and I attach it to this bead. And that's all I could do. I couldn't meditate on the mysteries of the rosary. I couldn't go into a type of contemplative prayer at that point. I could just make myself available to him and present to him and do what you're doing and let him know that I loved him. But you see, God works in the midst of that, Gabriella, in a way that is so great, our mind can't comprehend it anyway. So I think you're praying very well. The very fact that you're praying is prayer itself. The very fact that you desire to pray is prayer itself. And God is there with you.
Okay, I thank you so much. I've been wanting to reach you for a long time, but you know, my life has been... Pretty yeah. challenging, but all for the greater glory of God.
That's right. And I'm going to be praying for you to find another job. But, you know, something came into my mind here, Gabriella. It may be that God's giving you a little break. Maybe just giving you a little break so that you can actually go through your season of grieving. You know, because you said you were so busy, you know, in the move and everything, and you haven't been able to grieve. You have to have that time to grieve. Maybe God is giving you a little way. Yeah. And I will pray that as soon as he knows that you're good to go, that perfect job comes along, okay?
All right. Thank you, Jenna. May God bless you.
You too, Gabrielle. And don't be a stranger, okay?
I won't. Thank you.
Okay. God bless you. Bye-bye. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. You just heard this beautiful woman. And I think that we should just all gather together right now and say Hail Mary for her. What do you think? I think that's a good idea. So let's just place ourselves into the presence of the Lord right now. And we're going to pray this Hail Mary on Gabriella's behalf. And we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for Gabriella now and at the hour of her death. Amen. Mary, help of Christians, pray for Gabriella. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to thank you very much for praying that prayer for her. Our God is good, and we all have heartache, and we all have suffering, but he never abandons us. And when we can't feel him, we know that that's when he is the nearest to us. Jack weighed in here for Krista, and Jack said, and Krista, this is for you. I hope you're still listening. He said, could you imagine St. Joseph giving the Blessed Mother an ultimatum? We can't begin to imagine that, right? And you're looking for a type of St. Joseph, okay? So there you have it. So I think that that's a really good thing for you to take into your time of prayer, Krista. Let's go to Glorianne. She's in Hamilton, New Jersey. EWTN app is the way that she is with us. Good morning, Glorianne. How are you?
Hi. How are you? I met you at McCorriston in New Jersey. It was a while ago.
Yes, it was a few years back.
To give a talk.
I remember.
You can't.
Yeah, I know. I remember being in New Jersey. Yes, I do remember being in New Jersey.
Oh, you remember going to McCorriston? Yeah,
Yeah, right, of course.
I just didn't think you could remember me, but...
I remember going there. Yes.
Yeah. I wanted to say a prayer for the election, but I also wanted to talk about something else, and that's... it's sort of weird. My husband kind of wants me to dye my hair, and I have left it kind of gray. I mean, I like makeup, I like perfume, but I don't want to be bothered with roots. And also, I jump into a pool, and your hair can change colors when you dye it. And the chlorine, it will kind of yellow, even go green, for Pete's sakes. And last time I dyed my hair, he couldn't stop staring at me. It was weird. But I let it go gray again. And I want to look good for him, but then again, I'm kind of bohemian, and I pretty much look forward to when I got married because I didn't want to do as much with my, you know what I mean? I didn't want to do as much with my hair and stuff. I'm just really kind of bohemian. I can buy a dress at a rummage sale, wear it that night, and I might not even iron it, okay? As long as it looks good enough.
Okay.
But, and so I want him to, you know, we have our other problems too, and I have to offer them up to the suffering on the cross and all. We have some issues. He needs like Viagra and stuff. He never gets enough of it. And we have intimacy issues, and I want to be closer. I want to do what he wants, but then again, the reason he likes me is I'm me, and I'm pretty much, I'm just true to who I am. I mean, you're only going to hear from me what I really think, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm divided. I remember my mom used to wear these knee socks for my dad. She couldn't stand knee socks. And after he died, she was like, here, you take all these knee socks. I can't even believe I was wearing them. And
let me just respond a little bit here. Okay. You know, obviously, your husband married you because you are you. I guess maybe what I would want to say is that, you know, I would prayerfully consider, you know, the fact that once we get married, we don't really, how do I want to phrase this? There is something lovely about wanting to look lovely for the sake of your husband, right? There's something lovely about that. Now, that doesn't mean that 24/7, you know, we've got to be dressed to the nines or anything. But it does mean that there is a type of lovely responsibility that we have to present ourselves well, because we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, if he wants you to put a little color in your hair, I'm not saying that you ought to do that or you ought not to do that, but I would consider it. I mean, wouldn't it be a little bit of a nice little sacrifice, you know, that you could offer to the Lord, you know, on behalf of your marriage and these other issues that are going on there? It's just a little thought. It would be a type of dying to self, Gloria, you know, just saying. Well, we are right to the end. God bless all of you. Neil's praying for you, Gabriella. Bye-bye now.